Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Over the past two summers, Pastor Vicki and I, in the pandemic, have tried, and I put the emphasis on the word tried, to plant and grow a garden in our backyard. To make stuff grow, you need good soil. And so our neighbors came over and they tilled up our soil for us, and we were really appreciative of that. A couple of you have given us starter plants and seeds this year that grew in our garden. And one of the things that we just miraculously discovered with regard to making your garden grow is zoo poo. Have you heard of zoo poo before? We actually got some, our neighbors bought some zoo poo, which is compost from the Columbus Zoo. So we had compost from animals all around the world because we're mission-minded, right? We're mission-minded, but we are global in our efforts to develop and cultivate our garden, and it's actually, it's been pretty effective. You mix that zoo poo in with the dirt, and then you plant the seeds and you water it, and voila, tomatoes, peppers, lettuce, cucumbers, zucchini. I don't remember planting zucchini, but zucchini keeps showing up on the shelf in our kitchen. I think some of you had to have something to do with that, or it's like zucchini from heaven. But you mix all those ingredients together and you get this harvest of wonderful, delicious food. And it's one thing to have a packet of seeds, right? You can go to the store and buy a packet of seeds. But when you take those seeds and you combine those seeds with the dirt and with some good zoo poo, some good compost, some good fertilizer, that is when you are really able to create an abundant harvest from your garden. Today is the final week of this series that we've been moving through over the past 5 weeks. We've been focusing on what it means to be an Acts 2:42 church. Just kind of set the table for us this morning as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper today. Over the past several weeks, we've been zeroing in on the things that the early church did, and this is the phrase I've been using, the things they did to perpetuate the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst. People were being saved, the Spirit was on the move, and the early church leaders realized that to keep the momentum going, there were things that needed to be done to, say it with me, perpetuate the presence of the Holy Spirit. I love that word, perpetuate. It's just one of my favorite words. They were perpetuating the presence of the Spirit in their midst. And in Acts chapter 2, in the midst of revival, they didn't have buildings, they didn't have perfect setups for church. They were just building it from the ground up. But what they did do is they had four things that they were focused on. Remember? They devoted themselves in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the community. Aren't you thankful for your church community this morning? And I would second it. I love Tom's thought about you come home to Maplewood every week. As a matter of fact, that might like become our new church motto. Come home. Come home. Come home. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to prayer. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. We're going to focus on that breaking of bread this morning. Four key ingredients to individual and corporate spiritual growth. These are things that we need to apply in our personal lives so that they manifest themselves not only in our individual walks with Jesus, but as a church as we walk together. Now, Pastor Ed helped us understand that to be devoted to the apostles' teaching several weeks ago meant that we need to be committed to become a student of the Word of God. We need to not just come to church on Sunday morning and hear a sermon preached, but we individually in our lives every day need to be in the Word, and we need to be a student of the Word. Doesn't mean you're an expert. It means you're a student. We're learning. This is a journey. The Bible's a big book, and it'll take a lifetime for us to fully understand it. And I don't even think we can comprehend everything that's in the Bible in our lives. That's what eternity is for. I think we'll continue to learn and have our minds open and questions answered in heaven when we get to be with the Lord. Last week, Pastor Ed helped us see that to be devoted to the fellowship, to our community, is to be a friend. Be a friend. Pastor Ed and Melissa aren't here today. Melissa wasn't feeling good, so we want to lift them up in our prayers. But I really have appreciated Pastor Ed helping along in this series, as we did not have all of the loss and all of the different things that were happening. But Pastor Ed was a friend to us, and lifting his hand and saying, "Hey, is there any way I can help you guys out?" And he shared that story last week. I appreciated him doing that. A few weeks ago, you'll recall, we explored that to be devoted to prayer means that we all individually need to be prayer warriors. We all need to be realizing that we have a responsibility to cultivate a prayer life in our own lives. The prayer life is kind of like the zoo poo. I'm serious. The prayer life, it's like it gets worked into everything else, and it facilitates spiritual growth in our lives. So often I feel like we feel anemic, or we're not growing, or the Spirit's not moving in our lives. And I'll ask somebody, "Well, when was the last time you really prayed for the Spirit to move? And are you praying for spiritual hunger?" And people are like, "Well, no, I don't pray for that. I pray for money for my bills, or I pray for somebody's sniffly nose," or you know, we make it all about us and our physical earthly needs. And we need to be prayer warriors, praying for the Spirit to move in our lives, but also for the Spirit to move in the lives of others. That's what it means to be a prayer warrior. We're fighting a battle for the kingdom of heaven, and we need to armor up and be prayer warriors. And today I want to wrap it all up, and I want to talk about what it means to be devoted to the breaking of bread. All right? We're going to focus in on what it means to be devoted to the breaking of bread at Maplewood. There's something about breaking bread. There's just something about breaking bread together that breaks down barriers. Just breaks down barriers, and it fosters the potential for all sorts of great things to happen when we simply sit down and share a meal together. You know what I'm talking about? Communion is that place where we as a family, communion is that place where we as a family come together really to share a meal. When we're sharing communion, we're sharing a meal. And when we do, I really believe something special can happen when we gather together to share this meal. You see, the communion supper is the place where learning, fellowship, and prayer all come together. Did you get that? I don't want you to miss this morning. This is a mind blower for me. Communion is the place where all the things that we've been talking about over the past several weeks, all those things, be a prayer warrior, be a student of the Word, be a friend, they all come together. They all intersect at the communion table. It's at the communion table where we learn. We've come today, and we're learning something new about communion today. That it is at the communion table where we learn, where we can be a student of the Word. It's at the communion table where we fellowship. Tom talked about the wedding yesterday, and that was us over a meal, fellowshipping, having a good time as a faith family. It's at the communion table also where we can fellowship and share in the joy of the common hope and promise of Jesus Christ in our lives, where we can be friends. Isn't it nice to take communion with friends? It's one thing, you can go to church somewhere and take communion as a stranger, as a visitor, and it's nice and it's meaningful, but boy, when we come together as a church family, it's special. To come together as a church family where we can take and share in the communion elements as friends. It's at the communion table where we pray. Part of communion is introspection and prayer. And it's where we can exercise becoming a prayer warrior at the communion table. It's at the communion table where we learn to be a worshiper. at the communion. Communion is all about worship, 24/7, 365. And that's where I want to spend just a couple of moments with you this morning. What does it mean to be a worshiper? What does it mean to be a worshiper? For humans, eating is a very social activity. You know, you go to restaurants all around town here in about an hour and a half, and maybe right now there are people getting together, and they're being very social. Now, don't be that person that goes to a restaurant and sits down with somebody and eats and doesn't say a word. You see people like that, I feel sad for them. Eating is supposed to be a social activity. You know, well, Vicki and I will sit down at the dinner table in our dining room at our house, and we'll talk, and we'll share about our day. And Pepper Jane, our puppy dog, likes to socialize with us during dinner also. And Pepper Jane knows that when Mommy and Daddy sit down at their places at the table, she sits right between us at the corner of the table. And as we eat, if she's not getting any of something, she'll paw up and get our attention. She likes to socialize. Even an animal like a dog likes to socialize with us as we eat. And when we eat together, I think we get more out of a meal, sharing a meal together, than just filling up our bellies. We get more than just a full belly out of it. I think if we do a meal right, any meal, if we do any meal right, where we're sitting down and breaking bread with someone else, we're going to leave that table with our hearts full. We're going to leave that table with our heads maybe full of new knowledge, something that we learned about someone else. I think if we do it right, we're going to leave the table feeling alive, full of life. Something about breaking bread. There's something to be said about the family that takes the time to sit down and have a meal together. The life is so busy and we're stretched in so many directions, but I'm telling you, there's magic. There's mystical magic, I think, that where the Spirit moves when we sit down and actually take time as families to have a meal together. That takes discipline. That takes effort on everyone's part to be there for the meal. But something happens, and it doesn't happen every meal because sometimes you get burnt meatloaf. I love you, Mommy. But there's just something over time that accumulates as we share a meal together. What is it about eating together that allows us to fill up in so many different ways? I think that Jesus, he understood the power of a meal. Jesus understood that when we take the time, when we make the time within the body of believers to break bread together, that we find the time to talk about what's really going on in our lives below the surface. What's going on? What's really going on? When we take the time to break bread together, we find the time to inspect the truth. To inspect the truth of the Scriptures and the voice of the Spirit in our hearts. Have you ever just had a conversation over a meal with someone that says, you know, the Lord's just been speaking to me about X, Y, or Z? When you verbalize how God is speaking to you, it just brings it to life. It makes it real. And when you share it with someone else, maybe they have some wisdom to share with you to build onto that also. There's power in inspecting the truth over a meal. When we take the time within the body to break bread together, we find time to ask hard questions. And I don't know about you, but I think at Maplewood right now within our church family, I think there's a lot of hard questions that we're asking. So much grief, so much loss over the past 8 weeks in such a small community of people. I think we've counted 8 connected to our church. Why, God? Why is this happening? You know, it's okay to ask questions. It's really dangerous to go ask questions off on your own as a Lone Ranger. But wow, isn't it wonderful to come together and know that other people are asking the same questions too? And let's not only ask the questions, but it's through this breaking of bread together, this fellowship that we share, that we can find the answers that we're seeking. We also, when we make the time to break bread together, we find the time to encourage and love and support one another. Just a beautiful, beautiful picture of what happens when we take the time to share over a meal. I think that Jesus also understood that worship, connecting a couple of things together for you this morning. Jesus understood the power of a meal, but Jesus also understood that worship transcends what we do on Sunday morning. I want you to hear that this morning. If you're not hearing that, you're missing the point. Worship, Maplewood, transcends what we do on Sunday morning. If we are to be the church that God has called us to be, if we are to be the church in its fullest sense, we all need to become worshipers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We need to become worshipers in spirit and in truth. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, John chapter 4. Very familiar passage, and they're talking about worship. And Jesus prophesies to this woman, a time is coming and has now come. Sometimes you prophesy out into the future, but Jesus says, hey, it's here now with me present. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. This woman was engaged in a debate on where worship should happen. Should it happen in Jerusalem, or should it happen in the place where the Samaritans said it should happen? And Jesus said, don't miss the point. It's not about where you are. It's about the state of who you are that matters when it comes to worship. We are to worship in spirit and in truth when we come here on Sunday morning and sing the songs. But God calls us as the church to worship Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Worship is at the heart of what it means to be the church. Worship is not just about singing K-Love songs at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Although that's nice and it's beautiful, we had Diana Stanley's soundtrack playing before the service this morning, and you guys were singing to the songs. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. But it's not just about coming to church at 10:30 on Sunday morning and singing those songs. It's about being true to Jesus in spirit 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No days off whatsoever. In my car, in my automobile, I have an always on switch for my lights. Some of you may have this, some of you may not, but in my vehicle, there's this automatic switch where I don't have to worry about it. I never have to think about whether or not my headlights are on. They are always on. My running lights are on in the daytime, in the afternoon. My headlights come on automatically after dark, and it's so cool in this vehicle. I'm getting used to it. The brights, you know how you go in the dark, you drive in the dark, and you turn your brights on and off? In this rig that I'm driving right now, the brights turn on automatically, and then when a car is coming and it senses light from another vehicle coming, they automatically turn off. Kind of interesting, kind of cool, but they're always on. I don't have to worry about it. It's just always on. And I think that is what it means to be a true worshiper, a worshiper in spirit and truth. And I really think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us as we gather together to share the communion elements this morning. Because you see, communion's an object lesson. Jesus was really smart. He was brilliant. He was a genius because he knows that people learn by words and they'll learn by stories, but he also knew that touching and feeling and tasting and smelling are such a critical, important part of learning. And communion is really not only a sacrament of worship for us, but as a sacrament, it is an object lesson. It's a reminder of who we should be. It's a visual reminder that when we participate in the breaking of bread, when we gather at the communion table, when we take the cup, when we take the bread, This is what it means to be a worshiper 24/7, 365. Does anybody like takeout? Anybody here like takeout? Texas Roadhouse takeout, yeah. In where we live, Pastor Vicki and I live in Marysville, and there's a Chinese restaurant. You don't want to eat in that restaurant. You don't want to eat in that restaurant, but boy, they have the best food, and we take out China Walk all the time. It's one of our family favorites. And so this morning, I want us to think about this concept of takeout as we think about taking communion today. What does partaking the bread look like if we're going to take out communion outside the walls of our church? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul puts it beautifully to the Roman church. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy through Jesus Christ, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Amen. Be a worshiper 24/7, 365. When we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, as we partake the bread, as we partake the body, the symbol of the body of Jesus Christ, that is our spiritual act of worship. Jesus told his disciples when they took the bread, they should remember that it's a symbol of his broken body for each of us. And Jesus, as Pastor Vicki told us, offered himself up as a living sacrifice. Jesus is asking you and I to mirror the spirit of offering ourselves up as living sacrifices in our daily lives. What does it look like in your everyday life to offer yourself up as a living sacrifice? I want you to be thinking about that as you take communion today, because that's the way we take out communion into the world. Jesus even taught us to pray, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. That's a sacrificing of what we want for what God would have in our lives. So important that he embedded it in our life as a prayer warrior. I always enjoy a little side of bread when I eat out, but this is the main course he's talking about here. Consuming the bread reminds us to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, sacrificing my wants, sacrificing my agenda, sacrificing my needs, and putting the needs of other people before me. Yes. Going last in line, letting someone cut in front of you. Simple acts of other-centered living that makes the world just a little nicer, kinder, and better. Taking up the bread. What does it mean to take the cup out of this place this morning? If we're going to do takeout for the cup this morning, every once in a while, I like to get a sweet tea to go when we eat out. I like to take my sweet tea with me. And you know, how many of you will sit in line for 15 minutes at Starbucks to get your cafe mocha whatever? Hunter will. To get your cafe mocha whatever, and you'll take, because you want to take it with you, right? You don't want to sit there in the little Starbucks place and drink it. You want it in that cup, and you want it to go. And Jesus said, when we take up the cup representing his blood, we are to remember that it is a symbol of the blood that he spilled out so that we might be saved. When we start talking about blood, we start talking about the cost. He gave up his body. He gave up his blood. He poured himself out that we might be saved. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are rescued from sin. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ, church, this morning that we are rescued from death. Amen. All this death that's around it. Death, where is your sting? Jesus has overcome the grave, and we as grieving people celebrate in the factory that grief is not Something that overcomes our lives. Jesus has overcome our grief. Jesus overcomes the grave and gives us hope this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus was willing. He modeled it for us. He was a human being. It's not just a story. Think about what he did for us. He was willing to give up his life, to spill his own blood, so that we might be saved. So that you might be rescued from the curse of death. Love, other-centered love, was what drove Jesus. Love for others, love for humanity, love for that which he spoke into creation in the beginning. Even though we don't deserve it, even when we feel unworthy, even when we feel like we've sinned so much that we're too far gone, the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us and gives us hope and a promise of a second chance. Jesus did it for us, folks, even though we didn't even realize we needed to be saved. Amen. That's the beautiful thing. Well, you know, so many people, we walk through life and we don't even recognize that we're in peril. We're not aware of the dangers all around us. And even before we knew that sin was an issue, that sin was an eternal threat to our existence, even before we were aware of that, Jesus died for us. Even before we even knew we had a need. I think that's beautiful. That's moving this morning. How many of us are willing to act on someone's behalf when they don't even acknowledge that they've got a problem? Love of Jesus Christ models, mirrors, shows us how we should be living an other-centered life. Amen. To carry out to the streets, to take with us. We're going to take communion out as we leave this morning. That's what it means to be a worshiper 24/7, 365. It means being committed to living a life of love. Being committed to living a life of love for others rather than being a selfish, self-centered jerk. Amen? Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ in Maplewood English in 2021. When we take up the cup, we are reminded to give forward the love that has been given to us. When we take the bread and we break it, we're giving forward the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. We live in a selfie culture. Just wrapping this up real quick this morning. We all know what it means. We live in a selfie culture. People's photos of themselves popping up all over the place. Our culture is shaped today by people taking pictures of themselves to really show off, right? To show off all the fun and all the good times that they're having. Here's a picture of me and my rig. Here's a picture of me and my boat. Here's me and a picture of my puppy. Here's me in a picture of my girl or my boy or whatever. You know, it's this me, me, me. Our selfie culture is all about focusing the attention on me. We've become quite the narcissistic society. Consumed with ourselves. Consumed. As a matter of fact, I think when all is said and done, if they write scripture about these days, our Asherah pole, which was the idol of the Old Testament, the Asherah pole of the 21st century will be the mobile device, the screen. Our selfie culture, it makes it all about us, but Jesus is calling all of us to put our cameras down. Put your camera down and live a non-selfie life where our focus is always on the good of others. It's always on the good of others. Living a life of love, advocating for the good of others. It's about laying down our lives so others can find their way to Jesus Christ. 24/7, 365, live a life of worship as we leave this place. Worship's not just what we're doing here, it's what we do out there, and that's the point this morning. Be a friend, be a student, be a prayer warrior, be a worshiper. All the time, always on. That's what it means to be the church. This is what it means. Don't miss it. This is what it means to be part of the community. All the ingredients pulled together to produce a potentially bountiful harvest of saved souls if we will only be who God has called us to be. And when we really lean into it, just like the apostles in Acts 2:42, just like we've kind of flipped the service all over the place and upside down this morning, when we really lean into these things, we have the potential to turn the world upside down.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.